Randy, Michelle, thanks for stopping by today and making the time. I guess the first thing I just wanted to kind of clear up and ask you about is what's really the difference between the unified command deactivating and going from what I think is called response to recovery mode?
Well, we activated the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, and put together unified command back in, it would have been March 17. And the reason we went with a unified command, just to kind of give you some background, is, you know, the COVID pandemic affected so many layers of society that you want to bring everybody in together. So you all have, Michelle was actually the commander, so she was actually over the entire thing, but we all got to make decisions together, and that way, if there was any problems in any sectors of, we'll call it the community, we could answer it, you know, together with a unified voice. So deactivation basically means that we've reached a level where, okay, there's really no reason for us to be, you know, things are starting to come down, everything's ramping down a bit from state level on, and we felt it was time to start looking to help the community towards recovery instead of the response to the pandemic. So we really started focusing more on the recovery and helping the county and helping the city of Galesburg recover from what it went on for the last several months.
And there would be a reactivation if we went back to phase three?
Well, not necessarily even phase three, but what we have decided is that any one of the partners that were part of the unified command can call the other partners and can activate it. So if they say, hey, we're seeing something, so if one of the hospitals, even if the police or if GHOS, Galesburg Hospital Ambulance Service, anyone, they see a reason why we need to activate the unified command, they can call the other partners and we will activate it again. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's over. I think some people get the feeling that all this means that it's over. It just means that the parties involved are, it's become more of our day-to-day business now. And we're not in a heightened awareness about everything and having to react at this level. We're reacting more at this level. So if, like you said, we've seen a huge insurgence or if something happened, then we would have the ability to just come back together.
So how should people think about just where we're at right now, I guess, because I feel like people may not know how to feel. Because Knox County has really not had a big problem, I would say. Not a lot of cases, not a lot of hospitalizations. So how should they feel, I guess, right now about...
Yeah. We've been fortunate, and we've been fortunate that our nursing homes have done so well. We've been fortunate we haven't had a lot of hospitalizations, and I think that's a correct term, is people don't know how to feel about it. But we're sitting pretty good right now, and I think people just have to continue to be intelligent about it and make intelligent, you know, decisions that, you know, instead of being one extreme or another, let's just go on with our lives and take the best actions we can necessary. We get asked, you know, and I always say, I just try to put our best public health foot forward and give the best advice we can, and people can take that advice and put it into their lives.
But I heard somebody say, good to be concerned, but not panicked necessarily. Is that
I think that's
accurate?
An accurate description, yes.
If I'm reading the charts correctly in the Unified Command dashboard, it says no one under the age of 70 has been confirmed positive in Knox County, and 90% of the cases are under 60. If that's right, is there anything that could be attributed to other than just older people being more careful because they know they could be more susceptible?
I think we are seeing that in the community because, like I said, we haven't had, knock on wood, I can find some wood, our nursing homes have been very good, and we haven't had an outbreak in a nursing home, which is a good thing in Illinois because a lot of communities have seen that. And so I think people are being cautious to protect their loved ones that are older, too, and taking precautions so they don't become ill. We have had pockets here and there of illness, like you said, but... other than that, what was your other question about demographics?
Well, I'm also kind of thinking that if there are less people that are older catching it in Knox County, our hospitalizations have been pretty low too, right? So those things are probably related, aren't they?
Yeah, because you're more than likely to get hospitalized if you have underlying health conditions along with the coronavirus. So yeah. If you already have heart disease or lung disease or something that's already there, then you're more likely to get ill and have to be hospitalized, because that's when you end up needing it intubated and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if which one of you could answer this, or both, or hopefully one of you. As far as like enforcement, I mean, I don't think most people around here are really that interested in, you know, tattletaling, catching people, you know, getting too close, this and that. But if you see like some bar that's obviously got people shoulder to shoulder sweating on each other like every night, like, is there anything that the local authorities are planning on doing about this? Or is it just kind of, what do you do?
You know, the ability is always there to do it. Nobody obviously wants to do that. Nobody wants that in their community. And that's why I say, you know, the hope would be that people take the best public health attitude about it, because we are seeing some states move backwards. And that is, even though we've been fortunate in the community, there is always the risk of the state having to move backwards. And that's what I would caution people with.
I think that's what you're seeing in like Texas and mm-hmm. Arizona, where they had opened things back up. And I understand why, you know, especially the younger people, because you feel like you're invincible. You feel like, well, if I get it, it's not going to do anything to me, you know? And, and so when they went backwards and they still had the requirements, hey, you need the distancing and masks and the percentages of people that were supposed to be allowed to be in restaurants and bars, when they just opened up and everybody just packed in, now you're seeing, and it is real. I mean, the health, systems in those areas are being taxed, and you know, and look at Houston right now. They're past their surge capacity, I think, if I caught that correctly on the news this morning. So the chances are still there that this thing can come back. Hopefully, we won't see that here. You know, hopefully, people are being smart about being in the, you know, the restaurants and the bars are being conscious of trying to keep the rules in place right now. Anyway,
Yeah. And Michelle, where are we right now as far as like local testing and contact tracing? How does that all work?
Well, the health department tests, or the community health center tests at the health department, both hospitals do testing. So there is adequate testing in the community. We are seeing an increased interest in testing. For a while there, we were a little slow, but we are seeing an interest. And then the health department is doing and has been doing contact tracing. So we run 7 days a week. We have to do contact positives within 24 hours and begin what's called contact tracing. And that's when we ask them who they have been around 48 hours prior to them developing symptoms or being diagnosed for the disease. So I think there is a need to get information out into the community that the health department may be calling you if you've had a contact, or if you're a positive case. And what we most like to bring out is, even if you're a positive, we don't release your name unless you give us permission to. So if we call a contact, it's just you've been in contact with somebody, you need to know, unless they give us permission. So we still do keep everything very confidential. And you can always call the health department back and say, you know, hey, somebody called me if you have any concerns. Because I do hear sometimes there's some scams out there and people trying to get information.
Yeah, is there any other way that they could possibly know that it's legit? Or is there anybody else that would call them for contact tracing other than the Knox County Health Department?
Right now, I don't believe so. IDPH for a time was doing some follow-up on recovered people. So they were wanting to know, you know, the length of time it took individuals to recover. So some of that sentinel surveillance may be going on, but no, we usually try to identify yourself. We're not going to ask for any income information or anything too personal. It's primarily centers around your health and who you've been in contact with.
Okay. Have you guys, I'm been very much involved in the conversations, or do you think you will be involved in the conversations about the public schools making a plan to go back? Are you involved in that at all?
I sit in on the meetings with Jody Scott and the superintendents. They have a tremendous hurdle ahead of them. I would assure everybody they're working very hard. And it's my understanding there's guidance out there, and I've seen it. And it's up to the individual districts and schools what they do and how they work through those, because the schools are very different. But they're taking this seriously, and they're trying to do what's best for their school districts.
Can you explain anything, I guess, your thoughts or what information, as you understand it? Some people seem to think that, you know, younger people can withstand the coronavirus better, so send the kids into schools. But I've also heard some people say, you know, that can kind of create a, you know, a launching pad for the virus throughout the community. Like, how should we think about that?
The concern right now is they know a little bit about the virus, but not a lot, and they learn more all the time. And the idea was sending children in, and if you have a bunch of children who are contracting it, they have the ability to pass it to other people. So
yeah.
The risk is then they go home to older adults or grandparents, and then you have people who are more susceptible to becoming greatly ill being transmitted to it. So the idea is to try to limit the spread of it, and that includes children, which are a large portion of our population in Knox County.
And this is just coming to mind, but I've also heard some people concerned that especially since kids are going to have to wear a mask, you know, probably for the whole day or a good part of the day, that it can impede their breathing and cause other health problems. Is there any concern about wearing the mask too long and getting, you know, having health problems as a result of that?
I've heard some of that. I don't know exactly, you know, I can't tell you exactly how true it is. I do know that there are children who have health issues.
Yeah.
That prohibit them from wearing a mask. And it's my understanding they'll be able to bring a doctor's note in and they'll be able to make accommodations. Now, what that will be for each individual school, I don't know.
Okay. I guess from either of you, is there anything else that the community should be aware of as far as your guys' efforts and what they need to be on the lookout for?
From my standpoint, from my side, I would say I'd like to let the community know that even though we did go down to once a week now of updating the dashboard on Tuesdays, that doesn't mean we're not monitoring the situation.
Sure.
You know, I think that when there was some fear in the county, in the community, that because we were so involved with what was going on at Unified Command. And even though we were putting out updates, some of those updates weren't getting out to everyone. So, you know, when you're sitting at home and you don't know, gee, what's going on, you're not hearing anything, you're thinking maybe no one's doing anything. Well, there was a lot of, I know that there was a few weeks there where I was working 16-hour days, and Michelle's been working a heck of a lot harder than I was, and she is now. So a lot of this burden has fallen on the health department. I would not want their job. But I just, you know, I'd want the community to know that we're still watching this situation closely. We're still involved with it. You know, again, Michelle's in conversations with the school district. I'm in conversations with the county and with the city of Galesburg and working on the recovery. So there's a lot of behind the scenes efforts going on. And again, all the partners that were involved, both the hospitals, the sheriff's department, police, public works for the city of Galesburg, members of the county. We're all in touch with each other still. Again, like any partner that feels that there is a need to activate that unified command again for a response, it's there. I mean, we're monitoring it very closely. So,
okay, very good.
Yeah. I would echo that, and I would go back to something Randy said from the very beginning. Is just I would remind people to be patient and kind with each other. I know there's a feeling that everybody wants to rush to get back to what they consider normal, and you know we're having. You know, people are having to cancel events or not being able to hold things that we routinely see in Knox County every year. And
yeah.
I think we just have to continue to work together. Everybody's done a great job, and we just have, you know, just to keep the straight and narrow and move forward.
So. That's good advice in general. So, Michelle and Randy, thank you so much for what you're doing, and thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having us come in this morning.
Appreciate it.